Welcome to the Financial Analyst Journal Author Interview Series. I am Rodney Sullivan, Head of Publications and Editor of the Financial Analyst Journal here at CFA Institute. We're here today with Professor Cam Harvey to discuss his recent FAJ article, The Golden Dilemma, published in the July-August 2013 issue of the FAJ. Cam, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Glad to be there.
In this interview series, Cam, as you know, we invite our authors to discuss their articles with us. So let's jump right in with our first question. Cam, what was the practical issue or issues that motivated your research?
Well, the main motivation for the research is essentially the lack of research, that there's so much attention paid to gold in the market and in general that it really cried out for an examination of the various stories that are told. And gold is actually a very large asset. So if you look at the market value when we're writing the paper of all the gold in the world, it's about $9 trillion. So it's very substantial, asset, yet very little is known about it. So my co-author Claude Erb and I decided to examine the stories that are told about gold in a rigorous way.
Tell us about how you approached getting your arms around the issue of gold.
Well, gold obviously is very controversial. So one thing that really struck us at the beginning was the disagreement amongst people that are highly respected in finance. So people like Warren Buffett, who when we're writing the paper thought that gold was greatly overvalued, and Bridgewater's Ray Dalio thought that gold was really undervalued. So these are people that are highly respected, yet had totally different views of the price of gold. So that was one of the starting points. And the other motivation was usually when I do some research, you figure the first stop is to look to see what other people have written on gold. And it turns out that in the academic literature, there's next to nothing. There's a lot of stuff on the gold standard, but almost nothing looking at gold in terms of fundamental values. So it seemed like it was wide open for us to jump in and to examine some of these stories.
So tell us how you went about finding and getting answers to the questions that you raise about gold.
Well, the first thing that we did was we put together a list of stories that are told about gold. For example, the most popular story is that gold is an inflation hedge. And certainly when I go around and talk to institutional managers, there's often a distinct bucket in their portfolio for inflation protect. And that bucket would have some real assets, it would have TIPS, and often it had a large gold exposure. And basically, you ask why? Well, gold is a good inflation hedge. So this is an example of one of the stories that's told, yet there's very little or no evidence until our paper to rigorously examine whether gold is an effective inflation hedge. And our paper concludes that it is not. And it's kind of a shocking finding for professional managers that are using gold for an inflation hedge when there's essentially very little evidence that is effective.
Yeah, that is a very surprising result. What were some of the other results that you and Claude found?
Well, the first thing is, and I want to clarify the inflation finding, and this is subtle, but it's very important. It turns out that gold is a very good store of value, which means that it does provide an inflation hedge. However, in order to get that hedging ability, you have to hold the gold for an extraordinary period of time because of the volatility of gold. So it might be that if your investment horizon was measured in centuries, that gold would be effective. But if your investment horizon, and usually we think long term is like 10 years, no way. It's just way too volatile. So gold is not effective in terms of inflation hedge. The other story that's very popular is that gold is a good thing to hold for a crisis like a hyperinflation. And Claude and I set out and cataloged about 40 different hyperinflationary episodes. The original version of the paper that was submitted to the Financial Analyst Journal, we looked at the Weimar Republic. We got some feedback from the referees of the paper saying, well, why don't you choose another example, a little more close to home in terms of history? And we chose Brazil. And Brazil, from 1980 to 2000, had an annual inflation rate of 280%. Extraordinary for a 20-year period. So this is, to me, a great application or test of whether gold can help you out in a crisis like that, because it's close to home in terms of the years, 1980 to 2000. It's a long period of time. So it's 20 years. So even with the volatility of gold, you would hope that after 20 years, you'd be able to weather this crisis. If you held the local currency, you would have lost 99.97% of your money if you just put it in the mattress. And actually, I should say local currencies because they went through many different currencies. If you held gold during that period, then you would have lost 70%, 70%. So in that period, over this long period, relatively recent period, gold was a disastrous hedge against economic chaos in that particular country. Now, there are other countries that we list that we didn't actually do the analysis, but I'll tell you right now that amongst the list of hyperinflations, we could choose some countries where a crisis actually, if you look at gold, gold would have helped you out. But the point is that gold is unreliable because it is so volatile. And this applies to regular kind of unexpected inflation. It applies to a crisis situation like hyperinflation, that gold simply is too volatile, even over 20-year horizons, to be a reliable thing that can protect you.
So Brazil is a case that proves the rule, essentially.
Yeah, it is a great example of the unreliability. We're giving it, we're not giving it like 3 years, like in the Weimar Republic. We're giving it 20 years, and still, you lose 70%. You would have been much better off holding U.S. dollars or even investing in Brazilian short-term debt. So it's just not reliable in a crisis. And again, it's another myth. It is still the case that gold is affected by kind of a fear trade, but the evidence, in our paper at least, and we've had quite a long sample. Our paper looks at gold over 2,500 years, and the evidence is that it's unreliable.
Cam, in the final minutes that we have remaining, is there anything else you'd like to add about your paper that our listeners would be interested to know?
Well, one thing that that we do discuss in the paper, our paper, I think, is fairly balanced in terms of examination of all of these theories. If gold kind of moves with inflation over the long term, that actually has the implication, and we do these calculations, that the fair price of gold should be $800 today. And when we wrote our paper, gold was trading at about $1,700. When the paper was accepted for the Financial Analyst Journal, that gold was trading at $1,400. Today it's trading at $1,250, and people think, oh, gee, it's dropped from $1,900 to $1,250. That's really a huge move, and maybe it's a good value. Well, I'm afraid not. If you think of the real price of gold as a value indicator, so you take the nominal price divided by inflation, it is still way above its historical average. So gold would have to have another major step down to get to that $800 figure. And that could happen fairly quickly. On the other side, the last thing I want to mention that's kind of interesting in our paper is that we look at a story that is kind of consistent with the gold price rising in the future, and that has to do with the amount of holding that certain emerging markets have in gold. So one extraordinary thing is that if you look at the amount of gold that China holds, for instance, it is very small. So the ETF GLD holds more gold than the Central Bank of China. And that is something that potentially has an upside for gold if China decides to buy additional gold, if perhaps at some point they want to free float their currency and they figure that they should have some gold. If they turn some of their $3 trillion into gold reserves, this would be a force that could potentially increase the price of gold. And we actually go through the data, and our paper actually has got fascinating data on annual production of gold, how much goes into investments, into jewelry, industrial uses, things, scrap, things like that. And to really understand what's going on with gold, you really have to see the demand side. The supply, as we document in our paper, is fairly constant. The amount of production from mining really hasn't changed that much in the last dozen years. So it all has to do with demand, and our paper actually asks the question, what if, and look at Brazil, look at India, look at Russia, look at China. So in that sense, our paper provides kind of a balanced perspective on the fundamental value of the gold.
Cam, this is all very fascinating. Clearly, gold has many influences. But unfortunately, we're out of time, and we want to thank you for taking the time to share with us your ideas and your research. And we encourage all of you, our listeners, to read this article and other articles from CFA Institute on our website at cfapubs.org. Thank you all so much for listening.